Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the CP Show, where it's about having conversation on a variety of subjects. So sit back and relax, chat, or feel free to call in. So let's share some knowledge and wisdom. Enjoy the journey. Welcome to the CP Show. I'm your host, CP. Today's topic, the racial and criminality switchery games. Oh, it's an awesome topic because the continuous mental manipulation games continue. Let's continue day in and day out. Day in and day out. That's why I can't say this enough, but infinite. African ancestry Native Blacks only have half to one generation to at most one generation left. Let me say this again. African ancestry Native Blacks only have half to one generation at maximally left for cultural survivorship. That's it. And denial is extremely relevant. Today being March the 11th of 2021. A few days ago was March the 7th, 1965. In Selma, Alabama's Day of Infamy. Only around 56 years ago. The racial terroristic activity toward African ancestry Native Blacks, hundreds of them, nonviolently protesting inhumane treatment, wanting voter equality, to treat them as citizens. Says not one African ancestry Native Black personnel is illegal. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on, that kind of mental switchery game that's being played upon millions of African ancestry Native Blacks. That's why I say again, half a generation to one generation left before complete overall cultural destruction of African ancestry Native Blacks as far as culture survivorship. Denial is irrelevant. So the several hundreds of African ancestry Native Black males and women, remember only less than around 56 years ago, not long ago at all, because remember, you have what? People that are in their, what, 80s? African ancestry Native Black that are still alive in their 80s? That they would have been adults then, right? Or say, you know, high school aged, should I, maybe around that? But I'm just saying, but especially in the 80s, right? That would have been basically grown folks, right? In Selma, that experienced this. And people that are still alive that remember watching this live are hearing about this on radio only 56 years ago. So again, you have people in their what, 70s? In her 70s. That remember this terrible racial terrorism action upon African ancestry Native blacks, not upon some other cultures, not upon numbers of Asians cultures, not upon Asians culture, men and women, not upon what we're being told Hispanic cultures, no men and women, that didn't affect them. And also it surely wasn't done to what we've been told what is Native Americans. Show me the different cultures, right, and other ethnicities also, right, that you saw walking across the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Show me that. Or show whomever that, should I say. There is no comparison on that. But let's not bring that up, right, but put stuff in the past. Right? But they were being treated inhumanely. Were getting beat down, ran over by personnel controlling the horses, screams everywhere, but millions of African ancestors, Native blacks, continue to allow other cultures, ethnicities, etc., right, categories and different lifestyles overall to benefit off black pain. That's atrocious, but brilliant. When many other cultures, ethnicities still were not even within the country, let alone others that would have had insignificant demographical numbers. And many of them were already staying within their own enclave of cultures, ethnicities, but still, generations later, benefit off black pain, but still allowed by means of African ancestors, Native blacks, to attach themselves under the people of color and minority switchery, genericality tactics. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But again, they still benefit off black pain without having to have experienced that type of cultural pain to their own people. Their own people or lifestyles, etc. In any comparison to African ancestors, Native blacks. Think about this, okay? The 19th Amendment of the Constitution around 1920, that was supposed to do what? For people who don't know, well, people who do know, the people who don't know, the 19th Amendment of the Constitution around 1920 was supposed to give women the right to vote. Even when this atrocious mental switchery game is not called out to say, because it's not in context, right? They don't say, wait, there are women that were voting before 1920. That is a reality. Not overall, right? But still, you had women that still were voting prior to the 19th Amendment of the Constitution, right? But that still is rarely ever brought up overall. But let's just say women were not allowed to vote regardless prior to 1920. So how do you explain about 45 years later, right? Because 1920, 1965, right? Which women were still being racially oppressed, right? Racially discriminated against, still not equally being treated racially to be able to vote equally, right? Right? The number one women that were going through that, right, was African ancestors, Native blacks. Because you still have many cultures that still did not exist in the country. Okay? So then, again, which women did not have to worry about that being treated like racial, like inhumane women, right? Which women had to be treated as inhumane and not being able to vote after 1920? Which women were, which women were benefited the most after 1920? Of the 19th Amendment of the Constitution. There would be women within a Padana-based culture. Right? Because remember, still, most women from many cultures still did not exist in 1920. Weren't even thought of. You ask many people then, hey, have you know about this continent or that continent? This country, that country? You probably looked at it like, what are you talking about? I never heard that kind of, what is that again? Right, 1920, right? So many women in different cultures and ethnicities, etc., were not even thought of then. Because remember, the three main cultures at that time was personnel within a Pedano-based culture, right? African ancestry, Native Blacks, and what we've been told, Native Americans. Those were the three main largest groups of demographics. So these other cultures, many cultures didn't even exist. And how many other personnel would come from voluntarily from a different country, a different continent, right? Trying to escape, you know, famine or trying to escape certain political situations or however many other situations that they were trying to get away from to come to the country, right? But based upon the genericality of racial categories, right, would be able to fit right on in under the predominant-based culture's racial category. But at the same time, kind of poke themselves out when they want to relay over, oh, well, I'm part of this other culture. But then when they want to slide right back in under the category of race within, you know, the predominant-based culture, they slide right back in. But they want to slide back out when they want to talk about their own culture. See, that's some devious stuff, but it's brilliant. But that's another conversation that still people don't want to have a conversation about. But back to the woman part of it, about which women. This being Women's History Month, right? You see the atrocious mental switcher gains that is still not brought up about which women were on plantations, lynchings, lynched, Jim Crow segregation laws, left and right. You see this atrocious gender. But just saying women that is pulled on over millions of African ancestors, Native Black men and women, and not bringing this up and putting that in context. African ancestors, Native Black women were in Selma March for voting rights, right? But again, was it not supposed to have women? But was it supposed to women? Was supposed to be still able to vote at the 19th Amendment of the Constitution, 1920, right? So then why would African ancestry, Native Black women still have to be trying to go on that Selma March to be treated as equal and to be able to sit there and voice themselves and that type of silent protest about not being treated equally in voting? Since women are supposed to be able to vote, right, overall, right? So, but you see the mental switcher game of this, right? That stuff is not really brought up at all. Okay? But think about this for a second, too. The Edmund Pettus Bridge. See, you know, it was a couple of years ago or after, excuse me, after the Floyd situation and things were popping off a little bit and, you know, all this kind of stuff, right, about taking monuments down and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I got all that, right? Have you noticed that stuff kind of dwindled down, that kind of conversation, right? And however many monuments are still up right now, how many street names, how many high schools, elementary schools, middle schools, I'm just giving an example, that's still named out to Confederate officers, enlisted personnel, just Confederate type personnel regardless. How many of those schools and different entities are named after those people that still, those names haven't changed? So you see this mental switcher game that's still going on, that supremacy laugh at, right? Being, again, supremacy, the most awesome mental manipulation force that has ever existed. They are brilliant. They are the super masters of mental manipulation tactics. Right? Because remember his name was Edmund Winston Pettus, right? A lot of times people don't bring that up. They don't know. It's you know, Edmund Pettus Bridge, but his name was Edmund Winston Pettus. He was born July the 6th, 1821, and passed on whatever existence, July 27, 1907. Here we go again. This stuff is not brought up. He was a senator for years. He was a lawyer. He was a high-ranking officer in the Confederate Army in the Civil War. Not even just that. He was a high-ranking official, ready, in the Ku Klux Klan, the KKK. See, you still have personnel from different cultures, ethnicities. When you say KKK, they don't feel that terror. They don't feel, you know, that conversation about those Knight Riders. They can't feel that. They can't feel that. Because it wasn't their people overall, obviously, because many cultures and ethnicities weren't around then, especially when the Ku Klux Klan was formed in the late 1800s, 1865, 1870, around that time frame. Surely most cultures were not around. Most ethnicities were not around in the founding of the KKK, right? But we don't. Well, let's not put that in perspective on that part. Right? Let's not put the context on that and bring that logic up, right? Edmund Pettus Bridge, the name is still up, right? Why is that not taken down yet, right? Because think about this for a sec. It's a national historical. What do you call it? It's a national historical landmark. And I don't know, I'm not the expert on this part, right? But I would not think that a lot of those things are, you know, removed from that status unless there's something really different, right? But again, this is pretty different, right? And why Child Steel overall, that name is not going on well unless the premises says, wait a minute now, this came up, that came up, we better do something about this. But watch, that's a 0.2% that might happen, but the 9.8%, that is not going to happen overall, right? Right? It's not going to happen. Because remember, he was a high-ranking Confederate officer, right? He was a senator, he was a lawyer, right? pro-slavery rhetoric. Right? But you got personnel tell African ancestors, Native Black people to put stuff in the past of topics of racial and criminality switchery games, right? It's been a couple of weeks, right, about the unprecedented, right, winter ice and storm that tore many people's pipes in their homes, apartments, and businesses and schools, affecting many personnel with no water as well, right? However many people, electric, you know, went off for days, a week, right? But I guess, oh well, right? Oh well, right? I say unless the person knew, you know, or somebody was who know, would tell them, because obviously most of the time that didn't happen. Well, you know, you can call, you know, this electric company, you know, depending on what the electric company is, and maybe you can, you know, file a claim for that amount of spoilage, right? But again, that depends on the electric company, right? But obviously that really wasn't brought up, that sometimes you might be able to do that. But regardless, oh, I guess there's OL on that too, right? Getting to a point. Remember this conversation he was having about the rolling power outages? How many personnel were like, wait a minute now, they don't think so. You know, they lose power. But it's like, wait a minute, they didn't have no rolling power outages, right? It was like, well, we just didn't have no power. It wasn't like power just came up for a day or 3 or 4 hours and then it stopped and, you know, came back on late on that night did a rolling power outage the next day. They was like, we were just out completely for 3 or 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, however it was, right? See, again, but I tell you, the games, man, that are played. But the point I'm getting at to you is that you had personnel, rightfully so, were angry, were frustrated, were crying, they were shocked. They wanted to demand answers, right? And who do they show? The various personnel overall in those entities and responsibilities at those, you know, company or companies, right? Personnel within a Padana-based culture. But where was the outrageous racial hatred of them? Where was, oh, they probably not even qualified to be in those positions anyway, right? They probably got in there because of affirmative action, right? Or the good old males or women network. Nope. It's quiet as roaches, you know, at nighttime in the house. Right? You never seen them, never seen the games that they're playing. right? When the lights are dark. And then when the spotlight's put upon those roaches, boy, they fly all over them. They fly. They go to all the place, right? So you can't see what they've been doing, right? But if this was African ancestors, Native blacks, in those positions, there would have been racial connotations, racial hatred comments, cause of if they were, you know, oh, they were definitely put in those positions because of affirmative actions. Oh, they're playing a race card. Right? But who are the original creators of the race card? Switchery tactic, right? So you have to know those atrocious mental switcher gangs very well on these things. See, denial is relevant. And watch how throughout the year, but especially if it's getting warm, but especially like a next year or you're after that, or 3 years down the road or something, especially when supremacists, you know, gets with the various types of media or papers or whoever, and they want to make sure they bring it up to make people get riled up again on their, you know, and they're, oh my goodness. Oh yes, that was a bad time over there, you know, for the power went out, right? But again, they're not going to sit there and put that in racial terms. For what I just kind of relayed over, if that had been African ancestors, Native black people that were contributing to responsibility of not making sure that those equipment parts and stuff like that were not winterized, or the grid, electrical grid, was not ready for the horribleness of the electric, you know, going off and stuff like that. And those dire needs of people needing electric, right? It's cold, you know, 5 degrees below that. I'm just giving an example. 10 degrees below that. I'm just giving an example, right? People, you know, lost all their food, or people that lost all their food, right? But again, if that was African ancestors, Native black people, there'd have been heck to pay. You understand where I'm coming from? There'd have been heck to pay, right? Because it would have been all these racial connotations going toward the African ancestors, Native black people that were on the boards and the other positions. There'd have been heck to pay. There'd have been racial type of nonsensical crap being put upon black folks, African ancestors, Native blacks in those positions. But of course, since those personnel were basically overall personnel within a predominant-based culture, right, that's not going to be brought up. But let's not talk about that context and not bring that up, right? Just as, again, remember another point, right? It's been almost 2 months ago, right, when the Capitol Building anarchist rioters anarchized the Capitol Building, outside and inside, right? Fighting with enforcement personnel, right? You saw that. Many people saw this stuff like, wow, they were shocked, right? Personnel, you know, the anarchists fighting with, you know, enforcement personnel, right? You know, making their way inside one of the most iconic buildings in Washington, right? Remember, the Capitol being the seat of lawmaking. And you see a personnel, however, carrying a Confederate flag or flags, right? Just acting like savages themselves, right? You know, you had ones that were sitting in politicians' chairs or chairs in their office. You saw the personnel within, you know, the legislative floor, right? Sitting there sifting through papers. Oh, my goodness. Could you imagine of, you know, what is not going to be talked about? How many of those personnel could have or perhaps put papers or something, right, in their pockets or whatever it is, or jackets or whatever, right? And you'll never see those things again, right? But no bodies were bouncing off the floor and walls. You didn't sit there and they sat there and committed anarchist, what some people would say terroristic situations. And still, they were overall allowed to just kind of walk around in general. Wow. But again, if this had been African ancestry, Native blacks, ooh, boy, you know the racial hatred would have came out all over the place on that, right? There would have been black bodies on walls and floors, outside, on steps, against the wall. There have been black bodies everywhere. And then, whoo, the racial connotations of that. Woo, my goodness, right? They'd have been, look at those blacks. You know what? The N-words and all of those different kind of words, right? They always got their hand out. They need to be working. Why are they going up there doing those terrible things? They're anti-white. They're anti-this, right? I'm just giving an example. You know all these things would have been happening, right? But let's not bring that up, right? Let's not bring up the what I like to call the rhino on the couch. The rhino on the couch is sitting right next to you. The elephant in the room, the elephant could be sitting there, you know, sleeping a little bit, right? You know, in the back, you know, in the kitchen somewhere, you know, you sit on the couch, it could be in the backside of the couch. You know, you can't make kind of may not be able to hear the darn, elephant might be sleeping or something. But a rhino on the couch is sitting there. You know, 2,000-ton rhino sitting there, you know, making sounds and stuff like that. You cannot sit there and pretend that's not there. This is a rhino on the couch scenario as well, right? If this would have been African ancestors, Native blacks doing what personnel within the predominant-based culture did, numbers of males overall and numbers of women within predominant-based culture, right? So hey, no, see, they ain't saying anything about, oh, that's sexism. So you got to watch that kind of game itself, right? Because how can be sexism when you had numbers of women that were participating in an anarchist insurrectionist situation, right? So there was no, oh, women doing this, right? You didn't hear no conversations overall about that, did you? Right? But let's not bring that part up, right? But again, if that would have been African ancestors, Native black males, and African ancestors, Native black women, oh my goodness. The racial hatred would have been off the super charts. But let's not talk about that, right? See, that's mental manipulation tactics, right, that are being played because it's not being brought up by most media papers and political personnel. They're not bringing that up, right? The obvious rhino on the couch on that, right? That was racial. That was racial. Because, again, if that had been African ancestry, Native blacks, it would have been racial hatred all over the place. But again, let's not talk about that logic. And also, this being March 11th, 2021, 11 days after Black History Month. Another Black History Month, whereby there is an assumption, many personnel know the origins. It's an assumption that many personnel know the origins of Black History Month, right? From the progenitor of Black History by the great Carter G. Wilson. And many don't. You ask numbers of many other cultures, ethnicities, how many of them know about Carter G. Wilson? Please. There's not going to be a gigantic amount. Many just hear of Black History Month and have no idea where that came from. Right? So it's basically another temporary feel-good moment without African ancestors, Native blacks, empowerment, unity, right? And having less internal self-hatred to one another attached to it. Right, for this whole year. Because there still will be still a non-small percentage of sellouts within the culture that will look in the mirror and cry, why? They have to be black. Why can't they be of another culture, ethnicity? Right? And they act like they can't be replaced with another sellout as they have done over and over. So the sellout cycle then continues, which again goes into the half a generation to one generation left of overall cultural non-survivorship, denial of the relevant. See, it's just like the thing we're talking about, the Black History Month, right? So how many people out there, questioning why there is a need for another year of Black History Month? But I guess it's okay, right? Because people don't say the same things about why do we need a Hispanic Heritage Month, right? But that's in September going into October. You're not going to hear that kind of conversation, are you? Why do we need a Hispanic Heritage Month, right? Now, again, see, the switcher with that as well, because, see, when you say Hispanic, that's very broad, right? Because there's some good Hispanics and some bad Hispanics, like anything else, right? But they're not going to talk about, what about the Afro-Hispanics? Afro-Latinos, Latinas, right? See, that's a different conversation that still people don't want to have. They just say generically Hispanic, right? Because we sit down and talk about achievements of Hispanics, you don't sit there and hear them showing Afro-Hispanics, Afro-Latinos that much, right? They'll make sure to keep that away, right? Watch the game. Watch the mental switcher game, right? But again, what Black History, what Heritage Month week came before Hispanic Heritage Month? Black History Month. Black History Month, right? But we're going to keep playing, and you know, well, people are going to be asking, you know, why we need to have another Black History Month. And I just say it again for the people who don't know, right? Black History Week preceded Hispanic Heritage Month, right? But again, as however many people attach themselves to, you know, Black pain and then jump up and get their own Heritage Month, right? But let's keep going. But I guess it's, there's no need to question why is there a need for LGBT History Month, right? Oh my, you better not question that. Or you be called anti-LGBT, racist, etc., bigot. Even though, again, the conversation not talked about how for numbers of Black LGBT personnel that face and will continue to face, right, internal LGBT strife from within. Shh, let's not talk about that, right? Even where there is just countless examples of Black LGBT personnel experiencing racism among others within that category. Again, let's not talk about that. Just like they don't want to talk about the great, great, greatness of James Baldwin, right? Who also was into that alternative lifestyle and relationships, right? But you know what? He understood that first and foremost, he is African ancestor, Native Black. And then the alternative lifestyle, second in relationship. When he would say things, he walks down the street, do they sit there and say, oh, okay, well, he might be part of a, you know, LGBT or whatever it is category. No, they saw him as first what? African ancestor, Native Black. First. And you still got personnel that don't want to see that obvious logic. See, as long as supremacy knows that, let's not talk about that, right? We're just going to say LGBT and then add a couple of alphabets, LGBTQIA, and et cetera, right? But we're going to talk about the Black LGBT personnel that continuously catch racial type of terrorist stuff from within. Right. Let's not talk about that. Let's just act like when you say LGBT, that means that personnel from the predominant based culture, LGBT, personnel from this culture, that culture, right? They all love each other, right? And everybody loves Black LGBT among other LGBT personnel. Man, gone with that nonsense. Gone with that nonsense, right? Gone with that nonsense. And that needs to be brought up a little bit more, especially by a number of the Black LGBT personnel, especially if you have not read James Baldwin and stuff like that. Looked at his documentaries like I'm Not Your Negro, right? But, you know, but again, let's keep going. So, but as well, where's the question about, oh, why, you know, again, why we need a Black History Month again, right? But watch this for a second. I bet you won't sit there and talk about why there's a need for a Women's History Month. You better not do that, right? This is Women's History Month right now, right? Because you question that, right? Oh, you're gonna be sexist. You're gonna be a sexist person. You're gonna be a misogynistic person, right? But let's kind of be quiet on which women, again, have been lynched the most, put on plantations, separated from families, racially experimented against, right? Voting disenfranchised the most. Let's pretend that this is across the board numbers of personnel from the predominant based culture, right? Women. Let's pretend that they went through the same thing as African ancestors, Native Blacks, women, right? Let's pretend that there were not numbers of women from the predominant based culture that showed hatred and racial terroristic situations toward African ancestry, Native Black women. But let's just play that game and just say women. Right? Let's play that game of saying women. Okay? But you better not also talk about, you know, why there's a need for Jewish American Heritage Month. Oh, so some people didn't know. Yes, a Jewish American Heritage Month. You better not ask that question. Why is there a need for that month, right? Because then people don't understand, you're anti-Semite. But one of the definitions of a Semite is a member of any of the peoples who speak or spoke a Semitic language. Okay. How many personnel within certain parts of Africa speak Semitic languages, right? Okay. But let's not talk about that. Okay. How about this? Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month, right? Let's not talk about that. Because again, who were the progenitors of the first Heritage Week month overall before any other personnel Heritage Month or week? Black History Month. Black History Week. But again, we're going to keep pretending. We're going to keep pretending, right? And allow our African ancestors, millions of African ancestors, later black people, going to continue allowing people to keep attached to themselves and stuff like that, right? It brings me to a biblical proverb, 3:9. Speak not into the ears of a fool, for he or she will despise the wisdom of thy words. And let me repeat this. Proverbs 23:9. Speak not into the ears of a fool, for he or she will despise the wisdom of thy words. Very powerful. Just like from the book Propaganda, I've brought this up. Okay, I'm going to add my own thought to this. But in the book Propaganda, the conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element. Let me put this again. The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element. Now, let me throw the cultural context to it, right? Too important not to. The conscience and intelligent cultural manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the African ancestry, Native Black masses, is an important element of deception. Right? I'm telling you. You know, for the people, see, again, when we don't know the games, when none of the African ancestry people don't know the mental manipulation tactics, they can easily be fooled. Right? It's like, For people who don't know this greatness name of Dr. John Henry Clark, right, this great grand cultural teacher, right, was born January 1st, 1915 to July 16, 1998 in a town in Alabama, right, in Alabama, right, great cultural teacher, right, greatness. Well, he was on this debate because he rarely debated, but he was doing this debate. Him and this other guy from Padana, anyway, so he was in the debate. And so you had this other person that was saying, oh, well, this black man, a black woman, were saying this and saying that, right? It was debating. And he was like, in so many words, look, I don't have time to be I'm not here to debate. I'm here to basically, I'm about teaching, right? I'm about teaching, right? I'm just kind of paraphrasing what he's saying, right? But he also was paraphrasing, when he was telling the other person, the only thing you're doing, you're just telling me what you don't know. What you don't know, right? Because, personnel, they can't stand when it was a strong African ancestor, Native Black, that knows who they are, and they read, they write decent enough, and they continuously learn in some kind of way. Not just a formal, but they learn themselves as well. That's a powerful thing that a lot of people don't like to see, an African ancestry Native Black personnel who is strong, who is compassionate still, right? Who has a good heart, but about taking care of business, right? A lot of people don't like that. They don't like that, right? So like Dr. Clark's like books such as like Christopher Columbus and the African Holocaust, Slavery and the Rise of European Capitalism. Against mega power, like his other books and videos, right? Because like one of the ones, great video, we have no friends. It's like called We Have No Friends, or You Have No Friends. It's a video like that by Dr. John Henry Clark. It's very powerful on that, right? Just as like other cultural grand teachers, such as the great cultural teacher Dr. Chancellor Williams, Destruction of Black Civilization, right? Great issues of race from 4,500 BC to 2000, right? But again, right, you know, African ancestors, Native Black males, right? You know, just criminals, right? You're right. great Dr. Chancellor Williams, right? See, a lot of cultures, if you, you know, people that are listening from other cultures, ethnicities, I appreciate that you listen as well, because hopefully that you'll, you know, learn some from what I'm saying as well, right? And maybe hopefully some other African ancestors, Native Blacks, will also be listening to this show also. The iconic great grand cultural teacher, Dr. Ben. Oh, my goodness. An icon of icons for people who know about Dr. Ben, right? African origins of major Western civil, African origins of major Western religions in his many videos, right? The great cultural teacher, John G. Jackson, Introduction to African Civilization, right? The great cultural teacher, Dr. Barbara Sizemore, Walking in Circles, The Black Struggle for School Reform. Books like this are so difficult to find, or the prices are so outrageous that it's hard to even try to buy something like that, right? But still, again, the videos that she had, well, she's passed on too, but the numbers of videos, right, are very powerful. The great, great, great cultural teacher, Dr. Francis Cresswell, right? The ISIS Papers, The Keys to the Colors, very powerful book, just like her videos as well, right? And think about these awesome African ancestors, Native Black, they still were strong as even they were getting older. They didn't get older and become, oh, I don't want to talk about race. They still was powerful, right? Like also the great Dr. Claude Anderson, Black Labor, White Wealth, the Search for Power and Economic Justice, Paranomics, The National Plan to Empower Black America, and his other books and videos. Wow. I mean, powerful stuff. And someone that is a great cultural teacher, he's passed on, but it's still underrated, the greatness of Dr. Amos Wilson, right? Awakening the Natural Genesis of Black Children, right? Black on Black Violence, The Psychodynamics of Black Annihilation in Service of White Domination, right? Or the Falsification of African Consciousness, Eurocentric History, Psychiatry, and the Politics of White Supremacy. Right. And his other books and videos as well. Right. And one of the other greats, Dr. Ivan Van Sertima. Right. Dr. Ivan Van Sertima. They came before Columbus, the African presence in ancient America. His videos as well. And that's a whole different topic. Right. Again. Right. So that people are going to pretend that African ancestry, Native Blacks were in this country before. Obviously, again, many, many, many people were been told was in this country already. You know, we want to say, oh, this person is indigenous when African ancestry, Native Black was already in this country before that. I'm not going to play that kind of game, right, on that one. But it's like white supremacy as well. We talk about white supremacy. See, that kind of nonsense, when people talk about white supremacy, it's atrocious because it's like it becomes a cool word now, right? I don't even like using the word supremacy because it becomes a cool and hip word to use, right, by many persons from within predominant-based culture and other cultures and ethnicities to use that word, right, with such smoothness. And many have no idea what they're talking about when they use that word, right? But a lot of times they use the word to attach it to their own agenda, right? But never having to suffer white supremacy, cultural black pain like black folks have done in this country, right? No, it's no comparison, right? It's like this great icon named Mr. Neely Fuller, right? For people who know him, they know him. For people who don't know, Mr. Neely Fuller. One of his statements he talks about is, if you don't understand white supremacy, what it is and how it works, everything else you understand will confuse you. Man, that is powerful, right? That's powerful. Powerful, right? And, you know, one of his other books he talks about, you know, he has a book as well, very powerful, very powerful, powerful, and his videos as well, very powerful. So, you know, but see, white supremacy is an old tactic, right? Old tactics not even brought up because a lot of people don't even know these tactics. Let me give you a big example here for a second. White supremacy, let me give you an example of something. Let me give you an example. In the word white supremacy, there is white supremacy, right? White supremacy, the wording. Okay, there's a book called The Rising Tide of Color Against White World Supremacy. Let me say this again. Okay, this book is called The book is called The Rising Tide of Color Against White World Supremacy. This was published almost around 1921, people. Right? That's almost like four generations ago. But see, again, you got personnel, see, that know who they know, especially supremacists and their assistants and the wannabe supremacists. Some of them know already, especially supremacists. They know that game very well, right? But they say, we know that millions of African ancestors, Native Black personnel, they're not going to checkmate people in certain on a lot of different things. You got some other cultures, you know, that just utilize the word white supremacy just in general, right? Don't know what they're talking about. Because, again, I sit there and just told you, the rise, excuse me, I told you, commented to you, the rising tide of color against white supremacy. That's, again, that's four generations before this white supremacy terminology now has become cool. That's old stuff, right? But we could pretend that there's no such stuff. But let me just read you a real piece apart that was in that book. In Asia, white hegemony rests solely on political basis, while the Asiatics themselves, browns and yellows alike, display constructive power and possess civilizations built up by their own efforts from the remote past. The Asiatics are today once more displaying their innate capacity by not merely adopting, but adapting white ideals and methods. Let's not talk about that, right? Again, however, percentage of that is still going on 100 years later, this being 2021. Let's continue in that book. None of this applies to Africa. The black race has never shown real constructive power. It has never built up native civilizations. Such progress as certain Negro groups have made have been due to external pressures and has never long outlived the pressures removed for the Negro when left to himself, as in Haiti and Liberia, rapidly reverts to his ancestral ways. The Negro is facile, even eager, imitator, but there, he stops. He adopts, but he does not adapt, assimilate, and give forth creatively again. The whole history testifies to the truth, as this particular author he was talking about. None of the black races, whether Negro or Australian, have shown within the historical time the capacity to learn, a capacity to develop civilization, and never exercise the smallest influence over peoples not black. That's powerful. But millions of African ancestors, Native blacks, want to sit there and continue to keep trying to help other cultures first, right? That's atrocious, right? Because it's a mental switchery tactic that millions of black folks have not caught on to. Just like when using the word people of color and you know, a minority. Look, that's a mental switchery tactic, right? It's a mental tactic. So for people who know, right, or who don't know, this thing called United States colored troops, black folks have been called colored before, but now you got people that want to play this little people of color game and attach themselves. I mean, that stuff needs to be checkmated. Right. But overall, it's not. Just like minority. Right. Playing this little silly game. Right. Because now, oh, well, women are considered minorities. We've all talked about it before. Which women are you talking about? See, again, which woman on plantations, lynched, right, segregated, Jim Crowed, right, couldn't go to this restaurant, this lunch counter, right, couldn't go to this neighborhood, right, couldn't sit there and go to any educational facility. But we want to say minority and just say women. That's atrocious. But you're going to keep allowing people to play that kind of game. Just like, what do you call it? Just like this thing about the criminology, you know, the criminology thing where they want to keep acting like black folks are the most criminals, right? But let me go over something. 57% of the victims were, in this crime reporting program, the victim of hate crimes may be an individual, a business, financial institutions, government entities, a religious organization, or society or public as a whole. In 2019, it was reported by, you know, type of enforcement entities, the ones that share the numbers on this, that there were about 8,812 victims of hate crimes. 57.6% of the victims were targeted because of the offender's bias against race, ethnicity, and ancestry. Repeat that. 57.6% of the victims were targeted because of the offender's bias against race, ethnicity, and ancestry, right? The offender's bias. And what was the largest bias? 56% of the, you know, talking about the victims were targeted because of the defendant's bias against race. Okay? On that, 48.5% were victims of crimes motivated by the offender's anti-black or African-American bias. Let me put that again. 48.5% were victims of crimes motivated by offender's anti-black or African-American bias. The second was 15.7% were victims of anti-white bias, 14.1% were victims of anti-Hispanic, 4.4% were victims of anti-Asian bias. But let's not bring that up, right? Just as we need to really take a look at this thing about illegal immigration, right? It has turned African ancestors, Native blacks, that don't know this game. It's like this thing called DACA. For people who don't know what DACA is, right? Okay? If you don't know what DACA is, I guess on that. But for others who don't know what DACA is about, on June 15, 2012, it was announced that certain people who came to the United States as children and met several guidelines may request consideration of deferred action for a period of 2 years, subject to renewal, right? They are eligible for work authorization. Deferred action is a use of prosecutorial discretion to defer removal action against an individual for a certain period of time. Deferred action does not provide lawful status. Well, again, right? Oh, excuse me. Some of the guidelines, right, were under the age of 31 as of June 15, 2012, came to the United States before reaching their 16th birthday, have not been convicted of a felony, significant misdemeanor, or three or more other misdemeanors, and do not otherwise pose a threat to national security or public safety. This is a cultural mental switchery game, people. Where is the African ancestry, Native Black youth? Where are their programs to help them out, right? At the same time, let me read this. An important information about DACA requests. Due to the federal court order, USCIS has resumed accepting both initial and renewal requests for deferred action under DACA, including initial requests from individuals who have never before been granted deferred action under DACA until further notice. So just going to keep sitting there pandering and sitting there and rewarding a parent, a grandparent, uncles, uncle, whoever that brought these kids over when they were young, right? Use them as pawns, right? That's disgusting, right? That's disgusting. But let me read you some, okay? So people, you know, they keep playing these little games, these mental switcher games upon African ancestry Native Black people, right? Oh, they've come over for, getting jobs and, oh, they're innocent. Right. Let me throw this out to you, okay? Let me read you something official was talking about. The old catch and release resumes on Texas border in the face of rising migrant numbers. Most of the migrants get their immigration court paperwork and head for other parts of the country aboard, you know, a particular bus, but many have the money to fly out, so using people. But a Border Patrol agent in the area relayed that the migrants are now too numerous for local systems to process, just like the catch and release circumstances that power the 2019 crisis. It is a mental switchery game, people. Continuing, we are releasing hundreds from many different countries of origins, not one country, many countries of origins, because we simply don't have enough room to hold them all. It gets very specific on that, right? Said one federal official also, they're filling up buses after bus after bus. No U.S. media has yet covered this incentivizing shift in practicing as the number of migrants trying their luck at winning catch and release spikes ever upward. This is a game, people. This is a game, right? This is a game. But let me read you something, okay? This is some kind of let me read you some statistics about this. Overall here. In fiscal year 2019, a total of 851,508 individuals were apprehended between ports of entry on our southwest border. Let me repeat this again. In fiscal 2019, a total of 851,508 individuals were apprehended between the borders of entry on our southwest border. But this game is getting atrocious, right? And then you see the unaccompanied minors also, right? Numbers go up and down, right? Unaccompanied minors, right? So again, you think some unaccompanied minors are going to pop off at the border with no money, nobody to know in the country, but they're going to make their way through whatever certain countries across the border, right? Come to the border and just say, hey, I want amnesty. Let's not be that naive. These people know games, okay? Just like a few days ago, they were talking about how now more migrants are popping up even more at the border. Oh, they're locking up migrants again. This is a game, people. They play the same game about 2014, a few years after that, the same game. When is it going to stop, right? This game was being played, right? Say, for instance, in the Immigration Act of 1986, the last major legalization of a lot of different illegal immigrants was already done in 1986. It's the same game. When are more people, especially African ancestors, Native Blacks, going to figure this game out and call checkmate on people and stop allowing people to play this game? And stop using, migrants, the kids. African ancestry, Native Black youth, every day somewhere are being removed from families for whatever that reason. Some, rightful so, and some for whatever other so, and being put in juvenile. Where is the sympathetic, compassionate for them? Right? Where is that, they've been removed from families? See, this is an atrocious game that's not being talked about, right? Not been talked about. Because again, if you looked at the numbers of unaccompanied minors and you see the ebb and flow of those numbers going up and down, and now they're even more now, you see where a family units are going up and down more now. You sit and see where it says single adults going up and down, going even more now. This is atrocious. And COVID is not stopping them. People want economic freebies. You have this child, that child, this child, you go get you some free WIC. You go get some free Medicaid, right? Right? Free WIC, free Medicaid, right? Get those free food stamps and whatever they can do it, right? Whatever freebie they can get. While African ancestor people, Native Blacks, are told to, to get over the pass and get your hand out, get your hand out the cookie jar and, do for yourself and all that kind of nonsense. Stop allowing people to play this little silly game, African ancestors, Native Black people, by the meeting. Stop. Right? But you know what? I'm just going to say this in closing on this because I think this kind of wraps up a big time thing. This is a book called White Man's Bible in 1981. The White Man's Bible in 1981. It says the N-word or N-word. We use the term N-word deliberately in this book and recommend its usage in general conversation. As we have stated in our previous chapter, the second dumbest creature on the face of the earth is one who can't or won't recognize his enemies. And the dumbest of all is that creature which actively collaborates with enemies for the destruction of his own race. Let me repeat this again. White Man's Bible, 1981. N-word or N-word? We use the term N-word deliberately in this book and recommend its usage in a general conversation. As we have stated in the previous chapter, the second dumbest creature on the face of the earth is one who can't or won't recognize its enemies. And the dumbest of all is that creature which will actively collaborate with its enemies for the destruction of its own race. I think that sums up a lot. I hope this has been an interesting topic on the racial and criminality switcher games. Because once you know the mental switcher games, more African ancestor personnel knew these games. There's just no way, unless the denial is that strong, to allow people to keep playing mental switcher games where people of color, minority, illegal immigration, separation of kids and families, when it's been known and told that how many of the same personnel that come across the boat, those kids, how many of them were not even the parents or anything like that. Okay. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening to the CP Show. I'm your host, CP.